95.9 WATD. Politics dancing. Let's try this one more time. Richard Blade, are you there on the line?
I am holding for you, Chris. No problem.
We have you. Finally, we made a connection all the way down in the warm climate of Mexico. Wow.
Oh, it's beautiful down here. The surf was great today, and we've only got a one-hour time difference. So if you fly down to stay with us, Chris, you won't get jet lagged.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Maybe I'll hop on a flight tomorrow because we've had a week of rain and clouds with another week ahead. But
oh my gosh, so two weeks of rain in the Boston area, right?
Yeah, it feels like Seattle. So, that's okay because we'll be in Huntington Beach next Saturday for the Like Totally Music Festival.
I am looking forward to seeing you, man. I mean, there's so many great bands on the bill in HB that weekend. I mean, the Bangles and ABC and Public Image Limited and the Romantics and the Tubes, who I've not seen since 1982 when they played at the Roxy. You know, it's incredible.
Wow. And we've got the Smithereens, and is it Marshall Crenshaw who's fronting the Smithereens?
They haven't confirmed who's going to be the lead singer because, of course, Pat is no longer with us. But I'm hoping it'll be Marshall Crenshaw because he is a really great performer.
Now, this is your
stage with Beatlemania, then as a solo.
This is the fourth Like Totally Music Festival. Is this your fourth time hosting it as well?
It's my fourth time hosting it. First started in a little, you know, square in a town in about 10 miles inland, and it was just for 600 people. And now,
It's almost like a K-Rock reunion that's going to be happening because you're going to be up there hosting, spinning between the bands. But we also have Jed the Fish, Freddie Snakeskin, and Rockin' Fig. Tell us a little bit about those guys.
Well, Freddie and Jed were always K-Rock legends. Before I started at K-Rock, they were there. And I was listening to them when I was at KNAC. And I've been friends with them ever since. I mean, I can't wait to hang out with them next week. And Rockin' Fig, I mean, he was our surf reporter. You know, it came from the four man that were the two surf reporters on the air. And Fig is such a great guy, and he's still a huge part of the beach community, particularly in HB in Huntington Beach. You know, he's got his own surf shop, and he hangs with all the surfers. And anytime the LP Pro comes to town, it's always Fig who's doing the commentary. So it's going to be, we're going to have to be dragged on stage because we'll be hanging out backstage just telling the old stories back in the year.
And I love the names. Most, as you and I know, radio DJs, they generally don't go by their, birth name. I certainly do not. And there's a story behind that that's, I think, similar to yours. But Jed the Fish, Freddie Snakeskin, do you know how they got their names? And then also for our listeners who are maybe not familiar to K-Rock or don't subscribe to Sirius, how you got your name?
Believe it or not, Jed the Fish is his real name.
Really?
His name is actually Jed Fish Gould.
Okay.
I don't know why his parents called him Fish for a middle name, but they did. So Jed just added the, and that was it. Freddie Snakeskin, I've got to ask Freddie how he came up with that name, because I don't know. Freddie's real name is Scott Campbell. But he became Freddie Snakeskin at a very young age on a different radio station and stayed with it. And then when he came to K-Rock, he brought Freddie Snakeskin with him as the name. And as for me, I was Dick Shepherd at KNAC. And when I left that little radio station, because it was a small station in the same market as K-Rock, I didn't want to steal listeners from it because I left on very good terms. I was friends with everybody. And so I decided I'd go and drop the dick and become Richard again. I wanted to be Richard. And Richard Shepherd just seems a little boring when I'm on the same station, as you mentioned, with Freddie Snakeskin and Jet the Fish and Dusty Street and Sam Free. So I wanted to come up with a name, and I desperately was thinking of one, and I looked at the paper, and it said this movie was opening in 2 weeks' time. And I thought, God, that'd be great, Richard Bunner. And then the newspaper fell down on the ground, and I was paralyzed with fright. I opened the microphone for the first time on K-Rock, and I forgot what it was going to be, and I glanced down at the newspaper, and it folded when it fell, and only the first part of the name of the movie was showing. The runner part wasn't, and the only part that was showing was Blade. And so I said, I'm Richard Blade, and that's how it came up. And of course, the movie, Blade Runner, became a real icon, so I'm glad I grabbed that particular name.
And for me, and I don't, we may have chatted about this in the past, but I was just left college. So I was a college DJ, as you know, 85 to 89. And I got a job at a Cape Cod radio station, classic rock of all things, going from alternative music to classic. And it was about 10 minutes before I had to go on air, maybe 15. And the program director runs in and says, "Hey, Chris, what's your radio name?" And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? It's, this is my name." And she's like, "No, that's not going to work because it sounds like a Z when you go from Chris to the last name." And then I said, okay, and I was thinking really quick, and we have a really good family friend who had a connection to Cape Cod as well, whose last name just happened to be Atwood. So thinking on the spot, I'm like, Chris Atwood, and they're like, perfect. And then that's how it was, and it has it's been since, whatever, 1987 or 88, something like that. So it's weird how we get these radio names.
It all comes about. I know. it's a weird thing, you know, it's... You have this secret identity. You kind of put on the bat cape and assume the new name.
Absolutely. And I try not to say what my real legal last name is unless I have to for various reasons. But so we've got this great festival that's coming up. You know, Janet's coming out for that. It's going to be a lot of fun to see you and to Krista and a lot of these bands as well. Are there any bands that are really sort of the standouts that, I mean, you want to see all of them, but that one or two or three that are just like, wow, I can't wait to see them live on Huntington Beach?
Well, you know, Public Image Limited is the one, because they're going to be going on at 6 o'clock in the sunshine. And to see Johnny Rotten, a.k.a. John Lydon, actually in the daylight, you know, with the sun shining down on him, particularly if it's warm temperatures, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. And I have to say, of all the interviews I've done, he's the one that scares me. You know, a couple of times I've interviewed him for K-Rock backstage at Weenie Rose when he's played there, he just gets right into your face. Normally when you are interviewing an artist, as you know very well, you hold the microphone up and they tend to step away from the mic. He steps into it. He's like, "All right, what you want from me?" Well, nothing, dude. You know, but I'm hopefully going to do some backstage interviews with him. Now, are you going to bring your portable recorder and do stuff for the alternative?
I definitely am going to bring my Marantz with my mic and the mic flag. So, yeah, and I would, Johnny Rotten, if I could, you know, sort of be on your, I don't know, heels and get an interview with him, that would be awesome because I've never met him in person. So this would
Chris,
be a first.
I'm going to stand behind you. All right. You're going to be the one in between me and Johnny. So you'll get the first shot at him. And I'll take you back to meet with the Bangles and Susanna and do an interview with them as well.
Oh, that would be awesome.
They're sweethearts. And I'm good friends with Martin Fry. So I'll make sure you get ABC as well.
Yeah, ABC. I mean, all these bands. You know, we've spoken over the last year, but I mean, coming up as a college DJ, 85 to 89, and just like living this music. And the interesting thing is, as we were trying to make the connection to Mexico on the phone, The Vapors, Turning Japanese, that song is the song which brought me out of my heavy metal phase as a youngster into the whole alternative scene, because my sister had it playing at home, and I was like, wait a minute, it was like a needle across the record. What is this song? And from there, it's, you know, alternative music history.
Well, it's so funny because I was in, as you know, I'm in Santa Anita, and you mentioned that, in Mexico, and we were having dinner with some friends with Marianne and Michael, and one of their friends, Nikki, was talking with me last night, and she said that she was from Denver area, Colorado, and then came out to Southern California for college, and all her friends were listening to K-Rock, and she not heard any of the song we were playing. And she said to her, it was like a whole new world of music opened, because all this was brand new to her, and she said that she never went back. That was what she loved, and she discovered, you know, all kinds of bands, particularly Duran Duran became her all-time favorite. But, I mean, it's crazy that so many stations just didn't play any of the music that you are playing now.
And what do you think is the longevity of this music? And there's such a huge resurgence. I mean, shows like this, shows like yours on Sirius XM, but the 80s just seem to be everywhere, and the bands are out there. I mean, there's so many of these festivals, whether it's the one that you've been doing down in, I think, the Dominican Republic, or you go out on a boat, and there's all this stuff. What's the reason for the excitement and the longevity of this?
I just think that, you know, people had underestimated the 80s, myself included, when I was playing it. I just thought it was disposable pop, but it's proven to have stood the test of time. And I think the two great eras of music that most people can relate to now are the 60s and the 80s, because you look at the 60s and so much different music exploded onto the scene, you know, following the Beatles. I mean, Beach Boys, The Doors, The Who, Jefferson Airplane. I mean, so many incredible bands whose music people still listen to today. Of course, the Rolling Stones, you know, excuse me for not mentioning them right at the beginning with the Beatles. And the same with the 80s. I mean, you listen to Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, The Cure, who are bigger today than they were then. New Order, The Smiths, Morrissey, who's doing a residency on New York in New York as we speak.
Right,
it's just incredible. So I don't know the longevity. I don't think it's going to go away in our lifetime. Like, because when I do private parties and gigs across the country, 13-year-old kids come up to me and just in the same breath as they're asking for the new Taylor Swift, they're asking for A-ha and Depeche Mode, which is incredible.
And I was last Saturday DJing at an event for a bunch of artists in Rockland, Open Studios, and a lot of kids, as you mentioned, teenagers, kept coming up to me asking me to play bands like you just mentioned, you know, A-ha, Depeche Mode. And all I could figure is they've got really cool parents who obviously grew up on this music, and the kids are growing up on it as well. So some good stuff. You also...
Well, an album that you and I grew up on turned 30 just yesterday.
It's
incredible.
Unbelievable. And we've already had a lot of requests for that album tonight. So I got to find where between now and 11 o'clock that I can fit in some Disintegration. In addition to the 80s festivals, obviously you've got a great bestseller book out there, World in My Eyes, which is doing wonderful, both in the print edition as well as the audiobook version. And because you don't have enough spare time on your hands, you've just finished another book about the, I believe, the Roman Empire. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just sent the final edit from me to my agent today, because I was going to self-publish this book, but there's been a lot of interest from other publishers to see it, whether they're actually going to put it out or not. Who knows? You know, nothing's ever real until it happens, you know. And people always, you know, talk a good game, but we'll see if that happens. If not, I'll self-publish it on Amazon, because it's a labor of love for me. It was based on a screenplay I wrote about in 2003 and had a lot of meetings on with some big producers who actually loved the concept and loved the story and loved the twists in it, but it was too expensive for what would have been a first-time writer put out. So I figured for my second book, I wanted to write a novel rather than an immediate follow-up to it, World in My Eyes. And so I turned to SPQR, which is based on real facts of the Roman Empire in 54 BC, and then has one little twist that everything changes. And this elite fighting force that was Rome, the Roman Legion, the survivors of a disaster find themselves in an environment in a country that is completely strange to them. And they're literally strangers in a strange land, but they are equipped with this incredible knowledge that Rome had and all the latest weaponry. And they're facing a situation that you can only imagine. And it's an incredibly exciting story. And I hope people will like it, but you know, novels are not autobiographies. You have to get lucky with a novel. It's like throwing darts at a dartboard. You know, you only very occasionally hit a bullseye. So I hope people will respond to it. But if you see a book called SPQR from Richard Lake, then please give it a shot. I honestly think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Well, when that does come out, which it will, we'll definitely have you on the show to talk a little bit more about it and perhaps not reveal that plot twist, but get close to it. So that'll be some good stuff. And good luck with that, with your publisher and trying to get that publisher.
Thank you so much. And if your listeners want to look up SPQR, it's one of the most famous abbreviations in history.
Absolutely.
It stands for Senatus Populus Qui Romanus, the Senate and people of Rome.
Okay. Is there a pre-event happening next Friday, I think a pub called Gallagher's Pub in Huntington Beach, for the Like Totally Music Festival? I thought I saw somewhere.
I think there is, because the same promoter who puts on the Light Totally Music Festival actually owns Gallagher's Pub in Huntington Beach. So if you're going to be flying in early with Janet, let me know, and I will reach out to Scott and make sure that you're taken care of that night as well, because he's going to look forward to seeing you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a private party on the Friday.
Oh, right.
On a Friday, my wife, Krista, is like, no, I am. I better be there, otherwise you'll be in trouble.
Hello, Krista. We fly out at the bright and early hour of 6 a.m., get into California around 10:30, and hop in the car and get down to Huntington Beach. So I think a little bit of sleep, we could find ourselves over at Gallagher's. And I think Clive from When in Rome is going to be there, based on some conversations I've had with him. So looking forward to seeing some of the folks down there. Obviously,
I would not be surprised. Yeah, Clive is a real trooper, and he's a great guy as well. I mean, his voice is as good today as it was in 89 when The Promise came out.
Absolutely. All right, so we've got a great festival coming up in 8 days out on Huntington Beach, hosted. Are you going to be hosting the entire time, or do you have to break away and go off and do something else? Or are you there?
No, I'll be there virtually the whole time, probably from 2 o'clock. Until 9, which is, I think, the curfew in HV at the moment. It should be great.
All right. And, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Looking forward to seeing you out there. And, sure, I'll be in front of you chatting with Johnny Rotten, then I'll turn the mic over to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to that, Chris. We're going to have some fun together, man, and take some photographs, post them on Facebook. And I look forward to you sharing some of that great music with your listeners, because you do such a great job on the air.
Well, thank you so much. And I think from the last time we had you on almost a year ago, Pesh Mode is one of my favorite bands. I know it's one of yours as well. And I think you said that Krista, one of her favorite songs off of Black Celebration is But Not Tonight.
Oh, yeah. She loves that song.
All right.
But you can dedicate But Not Tonight to the wife.
That's my favorite song.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Krista. Actually, you just dedicated it to her because I have it queued up. So I'll send you the tape on Sunday or the MP3, and you can play that back for her.
Cool. And to all your listeners in the Boston area, then I hope the weather forecast is wrong and you do get a break in the clouds and the rain for next week.
All right. We'll see you next Saturday on Huntington Beach. Until then, surf's up.
You got it, buddy. Take care.
All right. 95.9 WATD.
God, it's raining and I'm not good. some red. I'd be mistaken for dead, but not tonight.